Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness meet, righteousness and peace kiss each other.
Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky.
Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps away. Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter beginning at the 57th verse. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy, the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. On our walk through the beginning of Luke's Gospel, today we come to the last part of the first chapter. It bookends what we saw at the very beginning, where the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah in the temple and told him that his wife Elizabeth would have a son. For this entire first chapter of Luke's Gospel, Zechariah has been silent. For more than 9 months, he didn't say a word. From that visit of the angel in the temple until the circumcision and naming of that same child on the eighth day, he remained silent. Now, some of us are talkers, and we might consider silence to be the worst form of punishment. Others are natural observers and prefer just to take it all in. I don't know which camp Zechariah fell into, but I suspect it might have been the first. He was probably a talker. Now, if you've ever lost your voice, you know what it's like to not be able to talk. With the mouth shut, yes, there's an awful lot you can still do with your hands, but it really does seem like your life boils down to just listening, to receiving, to taking in, to noticing, observing, and thinking about what's happening around you. When the tongue is silent, we're left with a receptive posture. It's about being rather than doing. You know, we sometimes wryly comment that God gave us two ears and only one mouth, but Zechariah experienced what it would be like to have two ears and no mouth. What was his life like for those 9 or 10 months? He must have taken in a lot. I picture him sitting, perhaps in the sunlight, maybe by a window, just reflecting over and over and over on the angel's words to him, as he also reflects on his wife Elizabeth's womb that is growing and growing and growing. And then there was Mary's visit to Elizabeth and the 3 months that she spent there with them. Mary's account of how the angel also visited her and the child in her womb, who has no human father, is the very Son of God. Listening to Elizabeth as she recounted what her child did when Mary's greeting came to her ears, John the Baptist leaping in his mother's womb. It's a little bit like we just said in the psalm a few minutes ago. Rather than Zechariah speaking, it was, "Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak. For he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly." I picture Zechariah going back over the words of the scriptures of the Old Testament, of the promises that God has made. And now, after 9+ months, the fulfillment of what he'd been told. Elizabeth goes into labor. She gives birth to a son. And on the eighth day, they gather with family and with friends
for that little boy to be brought into the entire history of Israel through the act of circumcision, tying this child back to Father Abraham, to whom God made a promise that from him would be a blessing to all nations. That day, that eighth day, points back to the past and the promise to Abraham, but it also points forward to the new creation that God will bring about through his promised Savior and Messiah. And along with the circumcision comes the naming of the child, an important custom. Of course, everyone there expects that he'll be named Zechariah after his father. And then Elizabeth protests, "Not Zechariah, he'll be named John." And I picture the conversation actually getting a little bit heated, while all the family and friends say, "No, of course he'll be named Zechariah," and Elizabeth saying, "No, his name will be John," and Zechariah standing there, unable to say anything, finally slipping off to the corner where he's got a tablet and writing out, "His name is John." The name given to this child who has been given to them by God. The Lord has been gracious. That's what the name John means. The Lord has been gracious, writes the one who's been struck silent for 10 months. And then his mouth is opened, and he begins praising God. Yes, God, the Lord, has been gracious. He has been gracious to his people Israel, keeping his promises to them after many, many generations. Yes, the Lord has been gracious to Zechariah and Elizabeth, to this elderly couple with no children, to this priest who questioned to the angel, to these two faithful people waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled. But even more than that, that name, John, the Lord has been gracious, not only tells what God has done for his ancient people Israel, nor just what God has done for Zechariah and Elizabeth, it is a testimony of what God is doing for all people through the one who is being born. Everyone responds, first with joy, then with amazement, and then with fear. What will this child be? And if this child is one who prepares the way for someone else, what will the one who follows him be? It is the beginning of a new era of salvation. These are the last two figures of salvation history. The one who prepares the way, John the Baptist, and the one whose way is prepared, Jesus the Christ. Zechariah opens his mouth to praise God. 10 months. 10 months, I picture him going to the synagogue, to the worship services, and not being able to join in singing the psalms or the praises of Yahweh. 10 months of listening but not speaking, and all of it overflows for Zechariah in this moment. He's been storing it up. 10 months come tumbling out. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. Why? Because he has visited his people, and he has made redemption, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for his people Israel. He has visited his people. That's the language that recalls the Exodus, where God broke in through his servant Moses to visit his people in mercy and deliver them. But I think Zechariah is also pointing ahead to the visit that God has made as a little one in the womb of Mary, who will be born before long. He has made redemption. This is pointing ahead to what that child, Jesus, will do when he will shed his blood on the cross to make atonement for the sins of all people. He has raised up a horn of salvation, a power to help, so that God can deliver the mercy that he promised, so that God can remember the covenant that he made with his people, It's like Zechariah is taking up the entire Old Testament and pulling it all together in this moment and saying, God, what you have promised, what you said you will do, that is coming to be now and here. His promise to Abraham, the deliverance that he made with the Passover and the Exodus, the righteousness through faith that was secured by a bloody sacrifice, the promises to David that his son would rule on a throne forever, the promise of Jeremiah that there would be a new covenant by which God would deliver forgiveness to his people. Yes, God, who visited his people in the past, is visiting now with the dawn from on high, with his Messiah, his Savior, the Christ. And what is God bringing to his people? The forgiveness of their sins. Zechariah dwells on that, I think, because he looks back to that moment in the temple when the angel made the promise and Zechariah did not believe what the angel said. He did not believe the word of the Lord. But now his mouth is opened. He knows that his sin is forgiven. He knows that the Savior is on the horizon and coming soon. And so he opens his lips to sing the praises of his God. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord has visited his people. And the Lord is visiting his people now, visiting you through his holy word and this precious communion, visiting you with the forgiveness of your sins. All of it, all of those sins, they are gone, they are past, they are paid for. And what remains for you is forgiveness. You have had a time of listening. The Lord has given for you to receive his gifts and his word and his promises and to reflect on who he is and what he has done. But the time also comes, dear friends, for us to speak. We pray, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. We will join Zechariah in saying, Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us, even his servant Jesus, whose way John the Baptist prepared. As we head now toward the birth of that Savior and Messiah, the celebration that begins on Sunday afternoon, let us open our lips and let us speak the praises of our God. In his name, amen. Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Eat the body of Christ given for you. Amen. Drink the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, in life everlasting. Depart in peace. We stand. Following the litany and before I pray the collect today, I will pray a collect for Linda Simeone and also for John Dooley, the father of Aaron Kit McGuire, both of whom are in critical condition or dying. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord.
And grant us your salvation.
Let your priests be clothed with righteousness.
And let your saints shout with joy.
Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
And bring judge the peoples with equity, and guide the nations on the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us our bodies and souls, granted us life here and the promise of life to come. With faith in your power to heal and save, we commend into your hands Linda and John. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, through John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, you once proclaimed salvation. Now grant that we may know this salvation and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life, through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your word and spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord Almighty, bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.